Hello, podcast listeners. This is Chris Sauter, lead pastor of Neighborhood Church of Cloquet. And if you heard that, you might be thinking, wait a second, weren't we the Cloquet Vineyard Church? Exactly. We have transitioned out of the Vineyard movement and now are called the Neighborhood Church of Cloquet. And to get more answers to all the questions that are bouncing around in your head, please go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org, where there's a brief video that I share of how and why we transition where we're going. And if you find that these messages bring something good and beautiful to your life, that they are inspiring, that they are life-giving, well, we invite you to do the same thing that today that you'll hear that we invite our whole church to as we go through this transition. First one is this, is show up or maybe like speak up. If you live in this vicinity, we'd love to meet you. I'd love to be able to put a face to your name of saying, hey, I've been listening to this for the last 3 years. Or go on to our website and go to the contact and send me an email saying, hey, I love this community. I support this community. And second thing is this. If you really do find meaning and belonging and these messages are life-giving, we are encouraging our whole entire community to give generously financially. And if you'd like to invest in this community, you can give online, again, at neighborhoodchurchmn.org. So I hope that this message of our transition brings energy, it brings heaven, and it brings Jesus to your doorstep. Have a good and beautiful day, friends.
Good. Got a woo, got a good morning, got a good. I'll take them. Take them all. Hey, if you're out in the hallway, why don't you come back inside? We'll start. I actually haven't heard anything about this church for a while. Is anything new? Anything going on? No? Pretty chill? Cool. It's good. Just kidding. Today I wanted to talk about an area that's been a place of discovery for me. And I think it's a lot of help in just the craziness of my life. And obviously, church can be a time of ups and a time of downs. And I think this practice that I'm going to talk about today can be to a lot of benefit for churches and organizations and certainly for individuals like you and I. It's going to be about silence and solitude. I might interchange some of those words with contemplation and solitude and silence. You can even, meditation is kind of in that realm too, but when I say silence and solitude, I talk about the discipline in the Christian faith that those represent. Discipline is kind of a tricky word when we talk about Christianity or faith or religion because it's just been used in such negative ways. But when I say it, I mean it as an avenue of God's grace, an intentional exercise, an intentional act of doing something to allow God's grace and love to pour into us. How do we feel about silence, about being alone? For some of us, it's difficult. Looking back on my childhood, I'm Chris's brother. My name's Dano. I don't know if I said that, but I've preached here a few times. And we grew up in a big house with five kids. I was the youngest of those five out in the woods of Carlton. And it was a crazy, loud house, right? And then being the youngest, it got increasingly quieter and calmer as each sibling above me moved out to college and started their adult life. And I remember my mom saying when I moved out to college how, you know, they were alone in the house, my father and mom, and just how quiet it was, how just suddenly silent it was, how there wasn't singing, there wasn't the lull of activity and fighting and laughter and stereos and etc. And on the other hand, whenever I bring home a girlfriend or a significant other, including my wife, for the first time for Christmas, I'd have to kind of stop in the driveway and say, like, all right, are you sure you're ready for the sustained craziness and loudness that you're about to experience for 3 days straight with no break. Like, just be prepared. And every single one of them, including my siblings, significant others, said, yeah, you guys weren't kidding. This is chaos. This is mayhem. We're also not bored like we were before, right? Do you guys remember being bored? Some people don't even know what boredom is. I remember, to some degree, just being so bored out of my mind. And now, if I ever say that I'm bored, it's a take of extreme privilege and arrogance, because how could I possibly be bored with everything that's available to me today, right? Most of us, or some of us, have phones in our pocket that are like the greatest computers the world has ever seen, right? And it's always available to me. I'm all but addicted to my phone. I can not only check the weather, it's like a Doppler radar in my hand, right? And if I have a question, I can use Twitter to tweet Sven Svungard a question about, like, Sven, what's this developing pattern we got going on? And he'll actually respond. It's amazing, this technology and this ways to never be bored. I can check the stocks. I can watch live sports right there. Nothing is ever going to be bored for me again. I think boredom is probably the reason that we have so much of the great things in our lives that we see, right? It was probably boredom that led somebody to be like, what if we just threw that bouncy ball up in that basket? What if we just did that? We got to do something, right? Like, what if we just went to the friggin' moon? Let's just go to the moon. We were bored. Let's do it. And here we are playing basketball and walking on the moon. It's wonderful. Silence is awkward and downright difficult for some of us. Yet it is in this place that Jesus himself withdrew to regularly. He regularly withdrew alone, away from his closest disciples, away from the crowds, away from ministry, away from family, just to go be in silence and solitude. And something happened with Jesus there in his time with God. Something refreshed him. Something drew him deeper. Something connected Jesus in that silence to the present reality around him. And what we see is the overflow of that in his life and ministry and teachings and his love. So maybe there's something that today we can learn from how to be silent, how to withdraw into solitude, even if it doesn't mean physically away from people, but in our hearts and in our minds. So we're going to unpack that a little bit. Sound good? Oh, yeah, you guys are practicing silence right now. Thanks. I've already done it. You guys are all on board already. All right, I'm going to pray, and then we'll get going. So, Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for you, for the gift that is your love, your sacrifice, your grace in our lives. Thank you for this church. Thank you that we are here together. And we invite you to be here with us, to lead us, to be the head of us right here and right now. Teach us what it means to connect with you. Teach us what it means to practice, for some of us, the difficult things, the difficult exercise and discipline of looking inside our own hearts and pushing everything else out but what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. My first point is silence and solitude begins with creating space. So I have an active mind. I'm a musician, I'm a drummer, I'm also a dad of two young kids. So there's always something going on in my mind. Honestly, it's usually like a song or a drum beat. These days, the last few weeks, I've been a stay-at-home dad as I'm finishing up some schooling. So a lot of it's like the intro song to Molly of Denali. It's wonderful. Or it's like the smooth jazz groove of Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. You know what I'm talking about? Just boom, ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. Love it. It's always in my head. It's always playing. And it's not so bad. So when I sit down to try this discipline, to practice this, it's so difficult. It's probably the hardest part for me. It takes 10 minutes of, all right, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to do this, and then something will come into my mind, Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood song, which might lead to, do I let my kids watch TV too much? Valid question. It might just lead to to-do lists, or even on the next level, anxieties, of nervousness, of fear. Are we doing the right things with preschool? When do we have to sign up, right? Maybe it's looking backwards, about regrets, about how I spent my week, how I spent my time, about how my relationships are doing. Not all these things are bad. Most of them are very fine and healthy. But I have to take the time to empty my mind out of those things. to empty them out and say, not right now, I'm going to put those on hold. If you guys have ever seen the movie Minority Report, where Tom Cruise is sitting there trying to figure out this precog crime thing, if you haven't seen it, it's not a big deal. But it's this whole this scene where he's seeing information and then he's just swiping it aside, or even on your phone when you want to get rid of a story or something like that. I just feel like that's what I have to do in silence. Like something comes in, I'm going to move it aside. I'm going to try to empty this space to create space for what we're trying to do here, which is connect with Jesus. I have so many things in my mind, in my life, in my surroundings, in my culture, in my home that are just turning up the volume and getting in the way. And again, most of them aren't bad. Most of them are fine and healthy, but they're there. And those things are connected to action items. Those things are connected to people. And when I'm constantly just letting myself be consumed with those things, it's as if other people are sitting with me. It's as if other problems, other things to accomplish, other things to make my own are right there filling up my living room as I'm sitting by myself. So the beginning of silence and contemplation or solitude is to create space, to let these things be put aside for later, let these things be put aside for another time, to be truly alone in my thoughts. And then I invite the Holy Spirit and I invite Jesus to be there with me, to help me remove some of those things so that he can speak. Be active. Be active. The thing that I have to fight against is this culture that we live in, for better or for worse, that is saying, you are being lazy if you are just sitting. You could be doing something right now. It's a weekday at 10 o'clock in the morning. Go do the dishes. Go find a job. Go call that person. Go do that to-do thing. Get up. Get up and move. Get up and be active. Jesus invites us to something different, to be still, to remember who he is. The passage I wanted to bring to mind today is Psalm 37, where we see this at work. This phrase that's in this passage, be still before God. There's another psalm that says, be still and know that I am God. That other one, which we won't put up on the screen, is much more involved with Israel, who these psalms were written in the context of. They were at war, and they were getting beat in these wars, and so their enemies are right outside these gates, and the psalmist is laying out all these things about why there is so much fear, because the enemy is right there, and yet in the midst of that, God is saying, just be still and remember who I am. But to the point, Psalm 37 says this, do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. So, the psalmist is saying, there is a lot to worry about. There's a lot of other things. There's ambition. There's people succeeding where you want to be succeeding. The people that you don't want to succeed, they are achieving more than you. They are succeeding in their evil ways. And even in the midst of that, God is inviting us to be still. Remember me, hold on, and just be in the present and know that I am your Lord. Do not focus on the external worries and stress, but instead focus on the inner truth and knowledge that God is alive and God is for us. One way to do this is to focus on our breath. In the context of this discipline of being in solitude, I think this can be very, very helpful, right? We practice this in other areas. If you've ever done yoga or different exercises that just involve breathing exercises, right? My wife obviously gave birth to two kids, and breathing was a big part of that. How to stay present, how to not murder the doctor, right? Breathe. Learn how to breathe in, to be present, and to focus on what you're doing. Especially in childbirth, that's very good advice. But even for us today, right? Even for us in the difficulties and realities of our lives. One thing that I have practiced in this breathing is literally to think about what I want more of in my life and in this moment and what I want less of in this moment. Even with breathing, in its very nature, we're taking in oxygen. We're taking in the thing that we need to survive. And we're letting go of carbon monoxide. We're letting go of these other things that we don't need in our lungs, the things that we can dispose of. So in prayer, in silence, I think, okay, what are the truths that I want more of? Okay, in my deep breaths, I may not say this aloud when I'm by myself, but I am loved by God. I want to take that in. I want to take it deep in. I am loved by God, fully and wholly, no matter what. I am loved. I take that in, and then I exhale the lies that I speak to myself, the things that I worry about, my insecurities. I take in the love of God, and I breathe out, you know, you are not enough. Get rid of that. I don't want that. You are made in the image of God. I breathe that in. You do not measure up to the expectations in front of you. Get it out. You are not enough. Get it out. You have missed the boat in your career or in your life. Breathe that out and breathe in the love and truth that Jesus provides. So it can be good. So practice breathing. Even just focusing on your breath will help us to get into a place of not thinking about other things, right? If we're only thinking and focusing on the very thing that we need next to survive, I think it can keep us centered in that moment. Something that I find this does is forces us to be in the present. Thomas Merton called this discipline a deepening of the present. It is not lofty goals or expectations for the future. It is a deepening of this present. It is a deepening of what is around us. It's easy to live in the past. It's easy to live in regret. It's easy to live in the future, which I think most, or at least I certainly do, what I need to do, of what I want to do, how to be better, what to do next. But Jesus calls us to something different. In silence and solitude, we confront these two realities. There's always something to stress about. There's always something that will be in the way. There's always something for us to cling to, isn't there? There's always something that we can hang our hat on when we don't know where we're at. I can hang my hat on being a good parent. I can get security and identity because of my bank account or my relationships or whatever you want to fill in that blank. But solitude and silence keeps us rooted in the present around us. The anxieties of tomorrow we put aside when we stop to notice how the breeze is interacting with our skin. My fear of moving forward can take a break as I focus on the sounds I'm hearing around me, as I listen to the refrain of the leaves that are suddenly so loud and deafening in the most beautiful way. We take those things inward. What feelings am I feeling right now? And this is where it gets a little more personal. Where am I at with my feelings? Where am I at with my relationships? What emotions am I chewing on right now that I may not even realize what I'm doing? How is my posture? How is the tightness in my shoulders, in my back? I wear my stress in like one weird, I can't even reach it, one weird little like muscle in my back. When I know something's going on, that thing starts to hurt. My chiropractor, who knows a lot more about this than me, says like, yeah, you wear your stress there. You should like take a couple breaths and relax. I'm like, that's great advice. Here's $1,000. A few years back, I went through a really, really difficult time with a church community that I was a part of. It was difficult. There was relational breakdowns. There was career, falling out. There was identity things that I used to cling to that suddenly weren't available to me anymore, and it was difficult. And one way that I apparently was processing this, that my wife had to remind me of, or not even remind me of, point out to me, she's like, have you realized you've been just like grinding your teeth hard every night, all night long? I'm like, no, tell me more about this. It's like, I notice I can't chew food as effectively lately. Like, I had to get like a retainer to keep me from grinding my teeth down to the nub. And it turns out it was like a physical manifestation of this snarled up anxiety within me. Questions about my future, about how I could have handled it better, about what my role in it is, about who I need to forgive, et cetera, et cetera. I was just wearing in my teeth, in my body. And this is something that can be helped. I can preemptively process those things physically through the discipline of silence and solitude. The Jesuits brought the Jesuits, who is a Catholic order. They're a little more of the mystical side of Catholic orders, a little more into very spiritual, mystical things that church fathers and other heroes of faith passed down from the very beginning of the faith. They brought something called the daily examine. This is a daily prayer, part of the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola, which is powerful, powerful stuff. It's meant to be a way to get our minds and hearts to be present and to recognize where God has been active in our lives in about the last day or so. So it's not just like a whole lifetime thing, but rather just 24 hours. Where's God been doing? Where's God been active? Where are the touches of God that we can notice? So I'll just go through these real quick, and at the end I'm hoping we can maybe do it together. Just a quick little 5-minute session of the daily examine. But we start with presence. We start with inviting God to be here with us. Inviting God to be sitting with us wherever we might be. It might be out in the woods on a hike. It might be in your living room when your kids are sleeping or when your roommate or spouse or whoever is out of the house. It might even be in the morning when you're in bed and everyone else isn't awake yet and you just have that 10, 15 minutes to be alone in your mind. But we invite God. We invite God to be present with us. The next one is gratitude. In the last day, we think about 2 or 3 things that we can be thankful for. What's happened to me in the last 24 hours, in the last day, if you're doing it at the end of the day, what can I be thankful for? Or some things that caused me delight to just say, I'm really glad that happened. It could be a funny story about finding a frog in your clothes basket. It could be someone saying something just thoughtful to you on the way to work or whatever it might be. It could just be how the light came in through the kitchen window. I am just so thankful for that. That's beautiful. Whatever it might be, just what are two or three things that you can be thankful for, and you give those to God that he gives us as gifts. Third is to review. Review your day from start to finish. All the things that happened, withholding judgment, but just recognizing what's happened in your day. 4 is to recognize where maybe you didn't measure up. Maybe you said something that you wish you wouldn't have said. Maybe you sinned. Maybe you have something that you just need to repent of. So we be honest about that. We be honest about that with ourselves, and we give that over to God. And the 5th one is grace. Looking forward to the next day, where can you invite God to bring more of his grace into your life? These 5 simple steps, a part of the daily examine, which is a part of the spiritual exercises, I think can just bring us into the moment of how we are doing, how we are breathing, what we are struggling with, what we are wearing our stresses and where that might be in our lives, and how we can release that to God in silence. I love this part of this discipline because we are able to stop and notice what's presently working around us in our reality. Right? I mentioned this before, but I love how this is countercultural, but it forces me to not only notice where God's been, not only notice the good things and maybe some things that weren't so good in my life that I was a part of, but also just, what am I missing? What am I missing right here? What's around me right in front of my eyes? What are the flowers that are blowing across my parents' deck that I can smell if I just stop and just breathe for 2 seconds to focus on that? What are some ways that I can notice how an old friend has maybe been emailing me and I haven't even thought to email them back? What are some ways that I can be more thoughtful in my relationship? If we just stop and try to be centered in the moment, in the present, maybe God can start to bring some of those simple delights of what's around us and also the simple invitations to grow in relationship with him and others. I wasn't being as present when I sent this next passage to the people that do the slides here, so I did the wrong passage, so I'm just going to read it and maybe highlight it, but it's Luke 27, and it's Jesus. It's the passage about him saying to his followers, "Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin." Another version say, "Consider the lilies of the field. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grasses of the field, which are here today and gone tomorrow, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith?" I think this is so powerful. So powerful. Just like to say something like this, I think, had to come from Jesus being on those silent retreats out in the country, out in the field, out on the mountainside, in a garden somewhere. He had to say, like, wow, I noticed this flower. Look at how beautiful that flower is. Look at the clothes that this flower is wearing, how extravagant this flower, that it doesn't even, that the richest and most wealthiest and most extravagant king of all Israel's history, spanning thousands of years, not even him, not even King Solomon, could even touch the beauty and extravagance of the colors and angles and lines of a simple wildflower. That came, that insight, profound insight of Jesus came from contemplation. So, we are called to stop, to look at the wildflowers in our neighbor's yard. That won't be there tomorrow because our neighbor loves to mow his field. It's like he hates wildflowers or something. Like, really? Like, come on. We like these wildflowers. You have to mow them? Like, whatever. It's his field. But while they're there, we can reflect on them. We can reflect on those things and those beauties and what that might say to how God loves us. If that little piece of grass is going to get just cut and forgot about in 36 hours, how much more does God care about us? How much more does God see you right here in your seat and just say, wow, consider the Julie of Cloquet, how beautiful she is, or whatever. Consider the Dano of Carleton and how he blah, 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 blah. Put your own name in there. But I think God brags about the beauty of us if Jesus himself is bragging about these wildflowers. It's a good day for wildflowers. Like, the Son of God talked about me. Where are you at, Rose? Yeah. Anyways. God calls you more loved. God calls you more worthy of his grace and provision than even the most beautiful flower in the prairie. So stop worrying and just be. Finally, silence and solitude is an act of listening and learning. We listen to God. Once we are able to put things aside, once we are able to clear out our minds of all the busyness, of all the noise, of all the items that we need to do, of all the anxieties and worries and stresses and frets, of all the regrets and things of yesterday, God says, once you can remove that, just listen to me and learn from me. I was doing this last week in preparation of this. I was practicing this, and God brought to mind unexpectedly just some things about a relationship. Somebody was saying some hurtful things about a friend of mine and getting other people to be on board with some of those things, and I just was upset. I was grinding away my teeth and my soul about those things, and God just brought to mind some of the blessings that those relationships have been to me. And how I can take a posture of not only forgiveness, but also just love and servitude towards them specifically. How can I bless them? How can I love the people that may not be loving me or the people that I love as great as I want them to be? Even a little more close to home, even just like how I was getting on my oldest kid a little too hard. A little too hard, I was just being a little less patient than maybe I should be. And in this great chasm of me just trying to hear God or trying to at least ignore the urge to pick up my phone and text or tweet Sven's Fungard, I was able to gain this insight from God, just like, hey, here's an area of you being a father that maybe you can just soften a little bit. And it was weep-inducing insight from God, and it was lovely. So once we're able to clear that out, we are able to then listen and learn the inward and outward call of Christ. One of the great paradoxes, one of the great many paradoxes of life with Christ is that he's always inviting us and leading us both inward and outward. Right? We even see this reflected in churches. Some churches get a knock for being too outward focused, right? They're doing too much. They're barely doing anything in intimacy and worship and blah, 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 blah. On the other side, there's like they're too focused on inner healing or spirituality or whatever. They're not being focused on the outside community around them. I'm not trying to get in the middle of that. I just think it points to we need to be both, right? As a church and as a community and as individuals. When we go inside this discipline, when we are able to gain the discipline that people like Henry Nouwen and Thomas Merton made their whole passion, their whole life's work about trying to teach the church about this, I think we will find chasms, unexplored, vast areas in our soul that is just waiting to be found, creativity and beauty is just waiting to be found for Jesus just to bring life to. Once we just find it and see it, and it'll just explode out of us. Not only just repentance and forgiveness and direction, all that is good and all that is found here, but also new things that we didn't even know were inside of us. I just think if the Bible is true, that we are made in the image of God, if we are brothers and sisters of Christ, made in his image, friends of God, then maybe there are things deep down inside of us that are just waiting to be discovered. Waiting to be discovered so that we can contribute in amazing creative ways, not only to the world around us, but to the church that is called to love people. Because whenever we go deep inside of life with Christ and life in our own hearts and souls, that will compel us to see the people in our communities that maybe aren't seen, to make space at the table to people that maybe aren't loved, to make space in a place for people that aren't invited, right? It's always both. And as soon as we start living a life of loving and serving others, the great whisper, the soft whisper of Jesus will grow louder and louder. Now also spend time with me. Now also put on hold all the things that you're reading, even the doctrine, even the Bible, even what you think is right and true. All that stuff is good. Let's study that in half an hour. But right now, just be completely alone with your Savior and see what he might do. As soon as we go one direction, and that's great, Jesus will always then use that to call us in the other direction. The deeper I go in silence and solitude and contemplation and meditation and breathing techniques, the more compelled I am to then go and love and serve someone the way that Jesus did. And as soon as I'm living a life of loving and serving other people, the more I am called to get by myself on a mountainside in a garden and contemplate the beauty and mysteries of Jesus. So let that fuel us. Let that fuel our church. Let that fill our hearts and compel us and draw us out into Cloquet and into Esco. Carlton is pretty much good already, so Duluth needs us. No, I'm just kidding. But sincerely, let that be the fuel and the fire that just helps us to do simple acts of love, simple acts of goodness, commit to doing good, and know that I am God. Commit to doing good, be still, and remember who I am and what I'm up to, both in you and in the people around us. Amen? Amen. Do we have time? Let's see. Yeah, I'm going to just lead us through a quick prayer. It won't be the full exam. And if you're interested in that, you can look it up or ask Nikki or Chris or anybody at the church, or certainly you can talk to me. I'd love to help because it's a powerful, simple little thing that perhaps in Protestantism or the evangelical church, we've kind of lost, favor in some doing some of those disciplines that St. Ignatius tells us about. So if you'd like to join me, you can just close your eyes and I'll just lead us through a quick prayer. If not, that's totally fine too. And we'll have the worship team come up in a little bit. Actually, Steve can come up right now if he's here, and the prayer team can come up after I lead us through this. So, first, Lord, we invite you once again. Be present with us. Help us to be present here with you. Help us to put on hold the morning's chaos. Help us to put on hold the plans for the afternoon or the week ahead or the fall school year ahead or whatever it might be. Help us just to remember you in our inhaling and our exhaling. Just be present with us here, God. Lord, help us to bring to mind, or would you bring to mind, two or three things that we can be thankful for. Whatever it might be, there's no judgment, no self-judgment on our own thoughts, just something we want to say thank you. Like, that was nice. Next, we review the day. I'm kind of flying through this, so forgive me, but review the day. Review the past, 24 hours, the last half of yesterday maybe, or just yesterday as a whole. And withholding any judgment on ourselves, what happened? What are the things? What are the highlights? What are the lowlights? Where did I see God moving? Where did I feel God's nudge? Where did I walk away from that? Where did I do my own thing? From an enjoyable interaction with a friend to the feel of the sun on your face, when did you love and where were you loved? Next one is, where have I might have fallen short of that? And again, there's no condemnation, but where are the things that I may have sinned? What are some things that I don't want to do, but I did anyways? Express to God your sorrow. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for God's grace. Prayer of forgiveness. Prayer of knowing that you need to ask someone else for forgiveness, or knowing that you need to forgive someone else. And finally, turn towards the future, the next day, the rest of this day, and invite God's grace to be with you in it. Lord, I pray that for all of us here today. Fill our next day with your grace. Fill our next day with your love and your direction. Be the very breath in our lungs. Be the oxygen in our inhale, God. Help us to get rid of the stuff that we don't want, that you don't want, in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. Give us the grace to just let that out, to invite more of you into that place. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you need some more prayer or just anything in your life that you just need to bring before God, there's going to be a prayer team up here by the stage. They've been trained in confidentiality, and they're great, and they'd love to pray for you or talk with you. If you're new to faith or just have questions, they'd love to talk about that too. So, thank you so much. Go and be the church. In Jesus' name.